This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Welcome in. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Alongside Matt Newmans, I am Tim Murray. Another edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. And it's important to timestamp these, Matt, and let people know what bowls we are talking about. Today, the big boys. We're talking playoff. We're talking New Year's Six. If we want to throw in a little ReliaQuest Bowl and a couple other things on New Year's Day, we can do so. But the big boys are where we are headed, and we will start right there. 5 o'clock Eastern, New Year's Day, the Rose Bowl, the first semifinal, the last year of the four-team playoff. It has number 4, Alabama, against number 1, Michigan, heading into this one. And as we sit here on this late December afternoon, Matt Newmans, the point spread sits at Alabama, catching 1.5 or 2 with a total of 45. How do you look at Crimson Tide and Wolverines New Year's Day in Pasadena?
Well, I like the Tide. I think the Big Ten has been plagued by bad football most of the season. Now, Michigan's been a head and shoulders above most of the other teams in the conference, you know, including Ohio State and Penn State, which are really, really good teams, but not elite teams. And I think Michigan does qualify as an elite team. But Jim Harbaugh's got to prove it on this stage, which he has not done yet, Tim. In Harbaugh's time at Michigan, he is 1-6 in bowls and 0-2 in the playoffs. And he blew the playoff game a year ago. Michigan should have beat TCU in that game. And that was embarrassing to let the Horned Frogs hang 51 on that Wolverines defense. But you know, I don't think J.J. McCarthy has been playing at an especially high level. And I'm not sure the Michigans are going to have the same success running the ball against the Alabama defense that it's had against some of the Big Ten defenses. And I think when you look at the scoring defenses in the Big Ten, you see all these low numbers, and yep, it looks like dominant defenses in the Big Ten. Well, there's a lot of bad offensive play in the Big Ten this year. Some of the worst I recall seeing in the last 30 years. So the Wolverines and Harbaugh are going to have to prove it to me here, including J.J. McCarthy. And anytime you get Nick Saban as an underdog, I think that's the way you got to look. Now, if you want to tease it and tease Alabama up to +8, I think that's a good way to play it. If you got another bowl game or two you like here, Alabama +8 on a teaser makes a lot of sense. There are plenty of books out there that have Alabama at +2 right now. I'm going to make a, I want to say, Tim, a one-unit bet on Alabama +2.
Okay.
I'm also going to play Bama on a teaser, and I'm going to live bet this game too, because if there's an opportunity where I can grab more than a field goal with Bama, I'm going to do it again, because you recall what happened in the Georgia game.
Yep.
You know, there was Bama at one point on live betting was catching 13 against Georgia and totally turned that game around. Hey, if Nick Saban can do that in a game with Kirby Smart, I think he can do it in a game with Jim Harbaugh. I'm on the Tide.
You look at what Alabama's defense was able to do, Matt, against Georgia in the SEC championship, holding that Georgia team, which I wouldn't think anyone would say is explosive, but still pretty darn good offense,
right,
to 321 yards of total offense. They were 4 of 12 on third downs in that game. They ultimately win it 27-24. They were able to run the ball with relative success, Alabama was. I'm fascinated by this one. We've talked about it as we've done our early bowl game thoughts. And my first bet was 45.5 under. We've seen a little bit of movement to the under. Still some 45s out there. I would still lean that way, Matt, to look at this game towards the under. We'll have a graphic here showing you where these teams have played. Look, I was dead wrong on the Michigan and Ohio State game. I played under in that one, and it went over pretty comfortably, but I'm with you. I think this J.J. McCarthy Michigan offense has got to show me, you know, what they're capable of doing, getting ready for this bowl game. I do like Sharon Moore, the offensive coordinator, who very well could be the next head coach of Michigan, because I think all of us are assuming that Jim Harbaugh will be off to the NFL whenever this season comes to a close, with all the allegations that are there recruiting-wise and just the fact that he's been flirting with the NFL for the past handful of years. Quarterback-wise, though, you mentioned J.J. McCarthy. as the season has gone on, Matt, where has your trust level been with Jalen Milroe, the Alabama quarterback? The early part of the season was a bit of a disaster. He gets benched for USF. Yeah. That game was an absolute mess. They find a way to win 10-3. And then since then, you know, we came back, you and I both on this podcast, laid it with Bama against Ole Miss on September 23rd. We thought that was a buy low opportunity, and they won that game 24-10. What have you thought of Jalen Milroe as this season has gone on? Because I look at the LSU game, I look at the Auburn game, he has really started to step up as a dynamic runner, and it feels like offensive coordinator Tommy Rees is letting him run a little bit more.
Well, if you go all the way back to the South Florida game, you wonder what Nick Saban and his coaches were thinking at that time. Jalen Milroe did not see the field, and that game was almost an epic disaster for the Tide. But, you know, I talked about this later in the season before, I'll say, the Tennessee game. Milroe played a sensational second half in that one when Alabama completely turned around the game against the Vols in the second half. My trust level is pretty high with Jalen Milroe, I think. And his confidence level is high, too. And you can see that. And I think the coaches are kind of cutting him loose to make more plays. And I've seen a lot of growth in him. And I think that's a big part, too, of why I like Bama in this game. I think he can make the plays. Ask Auburn on fourth down if he can make the plays.
Yeah, maybe Michigan would send more than two rushers. But
yeah,
we digress. I think Florida State would have loved to see multiple rushers thrown at him. But we will see. A lot to get to, obviously, regarding this game. No official play on the side for me. Let me ask you this real quickly to circle back. Teaser in college football. What is... Because usually the volatility in college football, you'd stay away from teasers. What in this particular instance is leading you to be interested in a teaser here with Alabama, Michigan?
Well, you're getting it up to a good number. And you can also play a 6.5-point tease where you're getting this up to 8.5.
Yeah.
And
pretty low total for college football, too, at 45.
I just think about it for a second, Tim. You're getting Nick Saban and 8.5 points? That's a pretty tough deal to turn down. So I think that's a really good teaser leg if you want to look at it that way, too.
All right. Let's get to the other semifinal. Also on New Year's Day, it's nice to have both of these meaningful games, not on New Year's Eve or sometime in late December. New Year's Day to wrap up the Final Four. Sugar Bowl, Caesars Superdome. This will be Washington against Texas. Much higher total in this game, sitting at 63.5 with the Big 12 champ and the undefeated Pac-12 champion. You were on Washington in the Pac-12 championship, plus the points. They win that game outright against Oregon, and the Huskies are here as a dog yet again. We've seen a little bit of movement towards the Huskies in this spot as we sit here on December, you know, getting ready for Christmas, late December here. We see Washington down to 3.5 at Circa, 4 pretty much everywhere else. You've already handed out Washington as a play. Let's circle back to it. Why do you like the Huskies in this spot?
Well, I'm going to start with the coach and the quarterback, Kalen DeBoer and Michael Penix. And going into the Pac-12 championship game, all you heard for a week was that Michael Penix hasn't been the same quarterback. You know, he's been turning the ball over. And what did he do? He went out in the Pac-12 title game in Vegas and lit it up. And he looked like a deserving Heisman type of quarterback. Yep. And he took it to Bo Nix and the Ducks in that game. And I think that's kind of a sign that Penix is back. I do think he was bothered by some nagging injuries for a while. I thought that coming out of the first game with Oregon, when it looked like he was hobbled in the fourth quarter and the Huskies were lucky to survive. Then they had a string of weeks where Washington was on wobbly legs and looked like a bet against team. But I think they're back. And I'm a big believer in Kalen DeBoer. At the time he was hired in Seattle, I thought it was an outstanding hire. And, you know, Washington, I think, can match Texas physically up front on the offensive and defensive lines. But when it comes down to it, Tim, this is probably going to be a tight game in the fourth quarter. You know, I trust Penix and his wide receivers to make the plays, and Kalen DeBoer to make the right play calls a little bit more than I trust Steve Sarkisian and Quinn Ewers and the Texas side. I think it's going to be a hell of a game, but I took 4.5 with Washington, and yes, I'm on the dog. I'm going to stick with the Huskies here.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by this one. I have not made a bet on this game yet. My initial lean was Texas, but look, as we keep going further and further, I could be talked into Washington, no doubt. Obviously, this is a Texas team, Matt, that is dealing without their starting running back, Jonathan Brooks, tore his ACL earlier in the season, so a significant loss there. But they played a handful of games without Jonathan Brooks.
You know, one thing, too, you mentioned Brooks, and I thought that was going to be a big loss for the Texas offense. Hasn't turned out to be, you know, a major problem for the Longhorns. And that's a little bit surprising to me. And to your point, you said you initially you liked Texas. I know a couple of sharp bettors who really think Texas is going to win this whole thing.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I love the Final Four. I know a lot of people want to cry about Florida State getting left out. I love these two Final Four matchups.
No, I couldn't be more excited for this Final Four. I mean, look, I feel bad for Florida State fans and the players. I don't really care about the coaches, but I care about the players. You know, they won all their games and they're not here, and it stinks that an injury kept them out. But as I've said multiple times here on this network, like, at the end of the day, these are the four teams, these are the games we're going to handicap and break down when it comes to it. And you know, these, in my opinion, are the four best teams. I guess if you want to say technically you want to throw Georgia in there as one of the best teams, you could do so. But real quickly, Malik Murphy not playing in this game. He is in the transfer portal, the backup. Does that worry you at all here for Texas, knowing that Quinn Ewers has got a little injury history?
Not one bit. I'm not a Malik Murphy guy. I thought he was a turnover-prone quarterback who's not a very accurate passer. Yeah, he's got a little, you know, more experience than Arch Manning. But, no, that doesn't enter my handicap at all. I think with Arch Manning as a backup, Texas should be fine because Malik Murphy had a, you know, issues with inaccuracy. He's an inaccurate passer and inconsistency with turnovers.
That's Matt Eumanns. I'm Tim Murray. The playoff breakdown in the books. We got New Year's 6 games to hit on, New Year's Day games to hit on. We are up and running. Happy holidays to all. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Come on back. Here we go. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Matt Eumanns, let me know about the Sun Bowl.
Yeah.
Notre Dame.
Looking
money
forward
line.
To it. Yeah. It's one of my favorite bowl games every year. El Paso on Christmas Eve. Anyway, we got a bunch more, you know, good bowl matchups to talk about today. But, Tim, how much better would some of these matchups be if the Stars were actually playing in most of these games?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, so many of these games would have been very tantalizing. And I think this next game that we're about to hit on would have been very intriguing if everybody would be there. But the market is starting to tell us maybe more people than we expect are going to be playing in this bowl game. It is December 29th, the same day as the Sun Bowl, which is where I will actually be on December 29th. Excited to be on the sidelines of the national radio broadcast of Notre Dame in Oregon State. That game will be at 2:00 Eastern on CBS. 8:00 Eastern on ESPN at Jerry's World. AT&T Stadium will be Ohio State against Missouri. This is a Friday, December 29th. And what is so fascinating about this bowl game, Matt Eumanns, is we jumped on a podcast right after these bowl games were announced. We gave ourselves about 24 hours to digest, give out some thoughts. You wrote up a couple columns over at VSiN.com, and one of your first bets was Missouri +6, I want to say. Somewhere in that ballpark, 4.5?
You know what? That's a good question because I DraftKings opened the number 6, 6.5.
Circa, I think, was 3.
I think the first bet I get in was +4.5 on Missouri. I bet it again at 3.5 and 3. So I've actually got 4 bets right now on Missouri at some pretty good numbers. But I did not get to 6.5, I don't believe.
So the reason I bring that up is this game went as far at some shops as Missouri -3. And as we sit here getting ready for Christmas, for Santa to come down the chimney here, Missouri is actually an underdog at Circa -1. They are the favorite at DraftKings, as we show the graphic there, at -1. And we've got a pick at South Point. So the line is moving and shaking. What we don't know yet is who definitely is in and who's definitely out, and this certainly could change, and that's the beauty of doing bowl podcasts here. We do know Kyle McCord is not playing. The quarterback for Ohio State, he's out. He's going to Syracuse. He's gone. Julian Fleming, he's gone. Wide receiver. Chip Traynham, he's gone. Backup running back. Mayan Williams, I believe, opted out, but he hasn't played in quite some time. What we don't know yet, as we sit here on this record, While it is fair to assume that Marvin Harrison Jr., Matt, the projected first non-quarterback to be selected, will not play in this bowl, we haven't heard from him yet. He hasn't opted out yet. We haven't heard from Cade Stover, their tight end, yet. He hasn't opted out yet. We haven't heard from linebacker Tommy Eichenberg. He has not opted out yet. We haven't heard really from Emeka Egbuka, who I believe, no, we did hear from him. He said he's playing. Jack Sawyer said he's playing. Denzel Burke, cornerback, says he's playing. Travion Henderson says he's coming back to Ohio State. So that's why we saw the shift with the assumption all these opt-outs were coming. And we'll get to the Missouri side here in a little bit, because I know one of your good friends and a listener to the podcast says we don't talk enough Missouri. What do we do with Ohio State? Because there are a lot of questions. And if all these guys play, they should win this game.
Yeah. I don't know about that. I'm still not sure how good Ohio State really is. Again, now Missouri, reflect on the Tiger season in the SEC. They went to Athens and they pushed Georgia to the wire.
Sure did.
On the road. I'm going to say the third best team in the SEC is Missouri. And I still don't know how good some of these Big Ten teams are this season. You know, again, Ohio State should have lost a game at Notre Dame. I love to keep bringing that up just because it bothers you so much.
I was there.
But How did Notre Dame blow that game?
Right in the hand. Huh? DJ Brown, who'll be the captain for Notre Dame at the Sun Bowl.
How much differently do you look at this Ohio State team if it loses a game like that or some other game? You know, I really think the Buckeyes' record makes people perceive this team to be better than it is. Now, I'm surprised. I thought Ryan Day and the Buckeyes are going to be facing mass defections in this bowl game. And that's not really the case. I'd still be surprised if a Marvin Harrison Jr. plays. Why would he play?
I don't.
You got to make a smart business decision.
And dad is a Hall of Famer. You think his dad would be like, don't play in this one,
Not just because I bet on Missouri. I'm saying, why the hell would you play? It doesn't make sense to play. You're going to be a top five pick. You don't play in this game.
Yeah.
You don't want to go out and blow your knee out or something. And we've seen that happen to players in bowl games before. So I think Missouri should be a slight favorite. I thought there was a chance it was going to go above three if we saw Marvin Harrison, some of the players you just mentioned, say, hey, we're going to sit this one out. I'm kind of kicking myself for not taking Ohio State plus three, you know, and at least hedging a little bit off all those Missouri bets I made. But again, live betting's an option when we get into this, and we'll talk about the Missouri aspect here in a minute. But I am slightly surprised that Ohio State has not had several opt-outs announced.
No, there's no doubt. And, you know, I would agree with you on the Ohio State front. A lot to be desired, it feels like, with this Buckeyes team. I don't think either one of us were big Kyle McCord believers, but...
Not as a freshman. Yeah, he can develop and become a pretty good college quarterback.
He beat out Devin Brown, who never really saw the field all that much. I know he got banged up as the season went on, but... You look at Devin Brown, he's going to get the start for this game for the Buckeyes. A lot of time to prepare for it. Like I mentioned, Emeka Egbuka expected to play, which could be big there for the Buckeyes. But let's look on the other side. This is an opportunity for Missouri, as they were a team who only lost two games, lost to LSU and lost to Georgia, covered against Georgia, played very well against that Georgia squad. This is the first time in a decade that they will be playing in a New Year's Six type of bowl. They played in the Cotton Bowl in 2013. They beat Oklahoma State 41-13. I mean, since then, these are the bowls really they've played in, Matt, in the last 5-6 years. The Texas Bowl, the Liberty Bowl, Armed Forces Bowl, and last year they lost to Wake Forest in the Gasparilla Bowl pre-Christmas. So you talk about motivation. Motivation certainly will be on the side of Missouri. Now, if you learned anything early bowl season, motivation can only take you so far. Haven't really seen any opt-outs from Missouri. Eli Drinkwitz expects his team to pretty much be intact fully here. Kirby Moore is a hot young offensive coordinator name. Got an extension, should be back next year. Luther Burden should be back next year. Schrager, their running back, who is a stud who started, I think, D2 football. He's not going anywhere. He's obviously going to play in this game. Brady Cook is a legitimate quarterback. So, yeah, I mean, Missouri for me was a bet. We talked about it earlier. I took some three and a little plus money on the money line. We'll see where this goes. The one thing I'll say about bowl games, and we saw it in the Frisco Bowl, and to a much lower level, but Rasheen Ali was a running back for Marshall. and he played the first half, and then he sat out the second half. You might see something like that if you see some Ohio State players out there. So it seems like it's going to be a coin toss type of game with the point spread. And, you know, as you've alluded to in the first segment, and I think what many people can learn from so far this bowl season, this isn't a cop-out. I think betting this in-game could be a good angle, too, is what Ohio State team do you see from the jump? And if they get punched in the mouth, they're like, "Nah, we're good. We're gonna move on to next year."
Yeah, if you have the time and resources to live bet, that's always a great option. Not everybody does that. I understand that, so I don't like to talk about it a lot. But you always have to keep that in the back of your mind that that's a good way to play a lot of these games as well. Yeah, our friend Dan Kuster, who follows this podcast, and it seems like he takes it as a personal insult if we say anything negative about Missouri or don't talk about Missouri enough. But I will say that he sent me a quote from Coach Drink, and it was posted by Peter Burns, who covers college football, on Twitter. Quote, "We don't have any opt-outs for the bowl game. These guys want to finish a special season for Missouri football and for each other." And I do think, in the quote, that's the focus here for Missouri is this could be a big win in terms of building this program. And I think you got a fully focused Missouri team here with no opt-outs. And that's what I like. We have heard from Brady Cook, Cody Schrader, and Luther Burden, and they are playing.
Yeah.
We know Missouri's three stars, the quarterback, the running back, and the receiver, are going to be playing in this game. And I'm going to stick with Missouri here. I think even on a neutral, if you put Ohio State at full strength, I would still give Missouri a decent shot to win the game.
And a lot of the times, especially early on in the bowl season, crowd's not going to be a factor. I would expect, and maybe your friend there can let us know, I would anticipate the Missouri fans to be all at Jerry's World, while Ohio State's used to playing in the playoff. I would think they think, for the most part, even though they went 11-1 this year, that this year's a disappointment. They lost again to Michigan. They're not in the playoff. I think, if I had to guess, it will not be a very scarlet and gray type of crowd. I think it'll be mostly Missouri fans there down at Jerry's World.
I got to tell you, I'm not even going to think about the crowd much in my handicapping of these bowls because I thought New Mexico State had a big crowd advantage in the New Mexico Bowl and they got bulldozed by 30 points. So who cares about the fans in the stands?
Show up, Missouri fans. What's our friend's name?
Dan.
Dan!
Yeah.
Get him out there. All right. A game I'm looking forward to, Penn State and Ole Miss. It's kind of like looking in a mirror between these two. We'll break that down. The Peach Bowl on the other side is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. We keep it rolling here on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. We just spent more time on the Cotton Bowl than we did the two playoff games. That's a little odd there.
I got more money on the Cotton Bowl, but that's what matters.
There's no doubt about that. I do as well to have some Missouri plus three and Missouri money line. Both Matt and I align there. You know what? Dan was his name.
Dan the man.
Another shout out for Dan. By the way, I went back. Looked at it. We've talked about Missouri a fair bit. I bet on Missouri against Kansas State, the game they won by on the 61-yard field goal. I faded them the following week, which was a push against Memphis. I faded them against Tennessee, which was a terrible bet. And then I took Florida against Missouri. So I was 2-1-1 on or against Missouri this year. So I'll take it. And hopefully 3-1-1, Dan. Got enough shout-outs for Dan? Is that enough? All right, we move on. Peach Bowl, December 30th. This will be noon Eastern on ESPN, Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Ole Miss against Penn State. This is really interesting, Matt, because there's not a ton of opt-outs from either side in this one. Now, what is to be noted, Penn State, they fired their offensive coordinator, Brett Yermark, during the season. They went out and got Kansas's OC, which I thought was a phenomenal hire. And then Manny Diaz, their defensive coordinator, has taken the head coaching job at Duke. So Penn State, couple coaching changes. Opt-outs, a couple. Chop Robinson, their edge rusher, he is out. One of their tight ends is out, but not a ton there for Penn State. We do need to keep an eye on Olu Fashanu, the tackle for Penn State, who is expected to be a top five, top ten pick.
I have no idea why he would play either. We're talking about Marvin Harrison Jr. What would he play? If you're going to be a top ten pick, hey, we understand it's a business decision. You got to sit it out.
Yeah, he has not opted out yet. I would be pretty surprised if he did play in this game. Look, last year we thought he might not play, and he stayed for a whole another year. So sure. We will see. Right now, as we look at this game, Penn State's a 4-point favorite, a total of 48.5, 49. I have not bet this game yet, Matt, but I'm looking a little bit towards Ole Miss. I've heard a bunch of people talk about this, and I think it's a fair way to look at it. The winner of this game is going to have a ton of momentum going into next year. Is going to have a lot of high expectations. Ole Miss 11, Penn State number 10, both 10-2. And both, Matt, I think you could say, in their biggest games, really underachieved. Ole Miss lost, didn't cover against Alabama 24-10. At Georgia, got absolutely hammered 52-17. Now, they did beat LSU in that epic barn burner back and forth there 55-49. And then Penn State, a team that I think a lot of people at VSiN, including yourself, and I had a little ticket on them, I was pretty disappointed by Penn State this year. Their two biggest games didn't cover either one of them against Michigan and Ohio State. So Penn State laying 4 here against Ole Miss. How do you look at this one?
Yeah, Nittany Lions had really pathetic offensive performances in those games against Ohio State and Michigan as well. If you look at the freshman quarterback, Drew Aller, and you kind of look back on the Penn State season, Tim, you would think, he didn't have a great season. Look at his numbers. Look at Drew Aller's numbers. And they were actually outstanding, over 60% completions, 23 touchdowns, and an incredibly low number of interceptions. I'm not sure if this is correct. I'm looking at the stat sheet, and it shows him with one interception.
Yeah, only one. It came against Indiana in a 33-24. Remember, that was an ugly game where they didn't cover. That was the week after they lost to Ohio State.
Almost lost outright as a 33-point favorite, right?
Yep.
And that was a hangover game, I think, for the Nittany Lions. I thought it was a misprint when I saw Aller had one interception. I thought he had, a few. I thought it was three or four, but numbers remarkable for him. And not so much for Jackson Dart, the old Rebels, Ole Miss quarterback, who I think – kind of had a roller coaster season with the Rebels, and a lot of that has to do with playing for a volatile coach like Lane Kiffin, who will switch his quarterbacks and kind of play musical chairs. But again, let's focus on this game just briefly. I think Penn State's got a couple more opt-outs, I'm expecting, and you're taking a freshman quarterback and big game James Franklin, and what you're calling a big game, I'll take the underdog. Give me the SEC underdog getting 4. I think Lane Kiffin will have his team motivated for this game, and I like Ole Miss catching the points here. I was surprised by the line. I made this like Penn State 1.5, so anything over a field goal, I'll take it with the Rebels.
I haven't made this bet. I think I'm gonna add it. I like Ole Miss here. I like Ole Miss plus the points. I think they win this game outright. And I do think they'll be motivated. Lane Kiffin got his extension. You know, he's always flirting. You know, every offseason it feels like with a different job, and he's sticking around. And I think the most hilarious part of this bowl lead up is that Spencer Sanders. Yeah, remember him? The Oklahoma State quarterback. He's ineligible. He is not eligible to play. So. Hardly knew you there at Ole Miss. But I do think something, too, Matt, when you think back to 2021, Ole Miss got to the Sugar Bowl. Now, the Sugar Bowl is thought of much in higher regard for SEC folks. They enter that Sugar Bowl. They're playing Baylor. And what happens? Matt Corral goes down to injury, and they really had no shot to win that game. So I think the motivation certainly will be there. I think Penn State is moderately motivated, but – all in all, I think you said it right. I'm going to take the team who's getting points. I think they'll have, once again, earmuff it. I think they'll have the pro crowd here on their side. Penn State went to a Rose Bowl last year. So not that Atlanta's a terrible travel spot for folks from the Mid-Atlantic, but I'm going to take the points here. I'm going to add this one to my card. I'm going to take Ole Miss plus the 4 in the Peach Bowl on December 30th. Also December 30th, remember, we have no evening game on December 30th, because that is going to be the Detroit Lions against the Dallas Cowboys. So college football in the NFL working hand in hand there. So middle of the afternoon, Hard Rock Stadium. We call this the Disappointment Bowl, Orange Bowl, between Florida State and Georgia, as Florida State still mad that they're not in the college football playoff, understandably so. And Georgia, they were the number one team in the country, two-time defending national champions, and they are not in the playoff after losing the SEC championship. So we've got Georgia laying, yes, 14.5 in this game. We might have to spend a whole segment on the opt-outs in this one. Here we go. Carson Beck is playing. He's coming back next year. We have not heard, I don't think officially, from Brock Bowers. Would be stunned if he played. Is Ladd McConkey going to play? He was all sorts of banged up. Amarius Mims, Tate Ratledge, a lot of different people's Javon Bullard. So you look at Georgia, a lot of guys have hit the portal as well. As for Florida State, they're starting to come out. Johnny Wilson just opted out. Jared Verse, their edge rusher, just opted out. Keon Coleman just opted out. Trey Benson has opted out. So Florida State is a team, oh, by the way, won't have Jordan Travis. They'll be starting Tate Rodemaker. So 14.5 is a big old number. Neither team wants to be in this game, Matt. How do you look at the Orange Bowl on December 30th?
It's there's so many different ways you can look at this game, and I think that Florida State getting 14.5 might be the better way to look at it, because Georgia's going to have a lot of opt-outs too. Like you said, Carson Beck's going to play, but again, this is a big disappointment for the Bulldogs to end up in this game too. Everybody's focused on the Florida State side. Hey, didn't make the playoffs. They're ticked. They don't want to be here at the Orange Bowl. What about Georgia? This is the first time in a while that the Bulldogs have not been in the four-team playoff. What, they have a 29-game win streak that was stopped in the loss to Alabama in the SEC championship game. I got to think the Bulldogs can be a little bit flat for this game too. 14.5 is a big number to lay if you're going to be missing some of your key parts on offense, talking about Georgia. Now, Florida State has got a dominant defense. We know Jared Verse and some of the stars are not going to play in this Orange Bowl, so it's probably not going to be the same defense. And I'm going to look under, I think, under the total of 45. That's the best number I see out there. I would look under 45 and probably take the points with the dog, where you're going to get 15. It's probably the best number you can get out there. I don't know if this is going to be a play for me yet, but that's kind of what I'm flirting with here, is under and underdog.
Yeah, I would, if you can get that 45, which as we record this, there are a couple 45s out there. This has the makings of being a pretty ugly game. I mean, you look back at the ACC championship, Matt, and I know Tate Rodemaker didn't play in that game, but Florida State relied massively on that defense. A couple pieces aren't going to be there. We mentioned Jared Verse, who's got opted out of this one. But that Florida State defense, you know, you think back to the opener against LSU, they were really one of the only teams, maybe the best, against Jaden Daniels all year. Yeah. So if that defense is motivated against a Georgia team that's going to be missing a good number of their pieces. I mean, think about, was it Georgia's win over Auburn, where Carson Beck just went, there's Brock Bowers, I'm going to go to him every single play.
You're probably not going to have Brock Bowers
exactly
in this game.
So I would not disagree with the under there, Georgia and Florida State. Also, folks, VSiN.com, make sure you check out all of our write-ups, including Matt Youmans, Adam Burke, and everything we've got for bowl season over there. Still got to get to New Year's Day. That has the Fiesta Bowl and the Citrus Bowl. We'll revisit our thoughts on the college football playoff. That's Matt Youmans. I'm Tim Murray. We're breaking down all the bowl games as we get into 2024. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. We keep it rolling here on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast alongside Matt Youmans. I am Tim Murray. We have broken down the majority of the New Year's Six. We hit on the playoff. The last game to touch on, the Fiesta Bowl in Glendale, Arizona, State Farm Stadium. The Group of Five participant is the Liberty Flames out of the CUSA. If you think back to the early part of the bowl season, and think back to New Mexico State, CUSA didn't look too great. New Mexico State got absolutely blown out by Fresno State. But we will see the Liberty Flames as the biggest underdog in the bowl season. Them and Eastern Michigan going head-to-head for the biggest underdog in the bowl season. They're taking on Oregon, Matt, an Oregon team that also certainly have to question their motivation for being here. They beat Washington. They're in the playoff. They did not beat Washington. So they are playing in the Fiesta Bowl against the Liberty Flames. We haven't heard, once again, opt-outs. Dan Lanning did say he expects his quarterback, Bo Nix, to play in this bowl game. I'll believe it when I see it. Troy Franklin, will we see him, the wide receiver? A lot of other pieces. How many opt-outs will we ultimately get? We've seen Bucky Irving, the running back, opt out so far officially. So certainly keep an eye on a bunch of the potential opt-outs here for Oregon. I would fully anticipate someone like Troy Franklin to sit this game out, Matt. I haven't really handicapped this game because I don't have any interest. I don't want to take the points with Liberty because I don't think they're that good. I've tried to go against Liberty a couple times this year. Just the CUSA is that terrible of a conference, but I certainly don't want to lay 17 with Oregon. So New Year's Day, 1 o'clock Eastern, ESPN. This is going to be your lead into the college football playoff. I got nothing.
Well, I think it's a positive that Liberty gets a shot to play in a game like this, and we get to see, you know, a David Goliath type of matchup, and I'll be rooting for the Flames if I don't have a bet on the Flames plus the points, and, 17.5 is out there. I'm a little bit interested in the dog because I just wonder if the Ducks are going to show up a little flat for this game too.
Yeah.
You know, the Ducks had big dreams. They were going to go to the college football playoff, and you're a guy. Bo Nix was going to win the Heisman. And then all that was washed away in that loss to Washington in the Pac-12 title game here in Vegas. So, you know, it's kind of a bummer for Oregon to be in this bowl. And it's a big upper, I think, for the Liberty Flames to be here. So when you catch it 17.5 in a situation like that, I might end up on that side by kickoff. But as of right now, no bet on the Fiesta.
The Liberty Flames, if you look at Jeff Sagarin, had the 134th most difficult schedule in college football. He incorporates FCS teams as well. What I will say about Liberty is, this team with Jamie Chadwell pulling the strings there, who is proven to be a pretty darn good coach, as you mentioned before, talking about the drop-off with Coastal Carolina when Chadwell left, and then Tim Beck, who I don't think anybody thought that was a good hire, maybe outside of the AD at Coastal Carolina. Caden Salter, I'll give him credit. He's a fun player to watch, the quarterback there for Liberty. I was curious if he would enter into the transfer portal. Not the case. Caden Salter is going to be sticking around, it seems, down there in Lynchburg, Virginia. Very impressive season. So, he's a guy that I certainly will keep a close eye on here for this game. And once again, if Bo Nix plays, I think that changes this feel for Oregon because their backup quarterback, Ty Thompson, has hit the transfer portal. So I don't know where they would go from the quarterback position. But, yeah, an interesting one to lead into the college football playoff, no doubt. Real quickly, we're going to kind of do a speed round on some of the other bowl games on the 30th, 31st, and 1st here before we bid farewell. But just final kind of Cliff Notes version. Opening segment we hit on the college football playoff. I like under in Alabama, Michigan. I don't have a play on the Sugar Bowl. You like both dogs.
I do. Washington plus 4.5, Alabama plus 2. And also, if you want to play Alabama on a teaser, a 6 or 6.5 point teaser at plus 8 or plus 8.5, I think that could be a smart way to play it as well.
All right, let's do a little speed round here to close out the show. We will hit these games in more in-depth on another podcast, but let's look at some of the non-major bowl games going back to December 29th, which is the same day as the Cotton Bowl. Notre Dame, Oregon State, as mentioned, this is the Sun Bowl, 2 o'clock Eastern. This game will be on CBS. Tons of opt-outs. I mean, you can't even list them all. Oregon State staff is all gone as Jonathan Smith's going to Michigan State. Once again, full breakdown a little bit later on. We've seen a massive move to the under, which was one of my first plays that we gave out in the podcast. You were on that as well. I think Notre Dame wins. If you want to pair them on a money line parlay, I would be fine with that. But I do think Notre Dame, I think their backups are superior to Oregon State's backups. So that's my quick synopsis on the Sun Bowl.
Yeah, you and I were talking about this game a little bit off air a couple times, and I've got a pretty good bet on Notre Dame minus 210 on the money line. I think that's a bargain price on the Irish. And Oregon State's got all sorts of key players out of this game, and the coaching staff's gone. And you would think Notre Dame's backup should be able to take out Oregon State in a game like this. And I'm really disappointed. I just want to say really disappointed in Sam Hartman for not playing in this bowl. Finish out your brief time at Notre Dame. There's no reason to bail on your teammates. I don't care if the Sun Bowl is not a New Year's Day type of game. It's a bowl game with a lot of tradition. And it's Notre Dame. Don't bail on your teammates in a postseason game like this. I'm disappointed in him. I'd like to hear if you are too, or you think he has a legit reason for saying, hey, I'm going to sit out the Sun Bowl.
I don't have an issue with Maris Leofau, Blake Fisher, Joe Alt, Cam Hart, or Audric Estime sitting this bowl game out. They all will be playing on Sundays next year. I do have an issue with Sam Hartman sitting out. I don't get it, but I guess without his two starting left tackles, without his running back, I guess that's the way he thought he would have to do. And I'm excited for Steve Angeli to get an opportunity to start this game for the Irish. Notre Dame's offensive coordinator, by the way, Jared Parker, left to take the Troy head coaching position. Mm-hmm. So the quarterback coach, who does have OC experience, Gino Guiduli, will be calling the plays for this one. It's going to be very fascinating to see for Oregon State, as we mentioned. DJ Uiagalelei and Aiden Childs both opted out of this game into the transfer portal. Ben Gulbranson, fun fact, Vegas Bowl MVP from a year ago. He will get the start here on this one. That's my only thought on the 29th. To the 30th, quick thoughts here. We've seen a big move in this line. You gave it out in a previous podcast. The Arizona Bowl, the swan song for Craig Bowl, Toledo and Wyoming at 3.5 or 4. Would you still look pokes here this game on December 30th at 4:30 Eastern?
Not at 4. At 3, I laid that number with the Wyoming Cowboys, Craig Bowles final game. The old Cowboys going to ride off into the sunset. And Craig Bowles been a hell of a coach. Also, Toledo's quarterback's going to be out, right?
Yes.
So we've got a big negative issue.
Daquan Finn is out.
Finn is out for the Toledo Rockets. And Bowles is going to ride into the sunset for the Cowboys. I think the situation sets up well for a bet on Wyoming, but you know, if you didn't get a good number, I would say play the money line at minus 180, something like that. Just not in the lane more than 3 when you could have had a better number. Also, I did play Arizona against Oklahoma in the Alamo Bowl. Dylan Gabriel ditched the Sooners, went to Oregon, and Oklahoma is going to be missing some other key guys here too. And I think this has got to be a huge game for Jed Fish. He's had his team playing at a high level second half of the season. You got to think the Wildcats go to San Antonio with a lot of momentum.
Also on December 30th, the Music City Bowl, Talia Tagovailoa opted out of that game, and that line went from 2 out to 7 for the Auburn-Maryland game. New Year's Day, we'll lump these two together, Matt. We've got the ReliaQuest Bowl, Wisconsin-LSU. Jaden Daniels is opt out, but I would say Nussmeier, people are excited. He will be the starter next year for the Bayou Bengals. And Iowa-Tennessee in the Citrus Bowl in Orlando. Tennessee is an 8 or 7.5 point favorite.
I'll tell you
in that
what,
one.
I might end up on the Iowa Hawkeyes. Right now, I don't know what exactly to make of the Wisconsin-LSU matchup. You know, it's a fluid situation. You don't have to have all your plays set now. You know, you might end up saying, hey, on the day of the game, or the night before the game, I really like this side or that side or the total. I'm probably going to end up playing Iowa. I think what the Hawkeyes do is they drag teams into their style of play, and they make it ugly. It's like a mud wrestling match. And I think that the Iowa defense is probably going to dictate the pace of play in this game. Plus, I have not been impressed with the Tennessee quarterback play this season. It's hard. It's hard to get on an ugly dog like the Hawkeyes here with a total of 35.5, 36. But I'd probably take the 8 with Iowa.
Iowa football. Give them credit for the defense, the performance they had against Michigan in that Big Ten championship. We've talked about it. They held Michigan to 213 yards, and I'm sure plenty of people will be on the under in the
Tennessee coaches and players were excited to draw Iowa. I don't think they fear the Hawkeyes, but at the same time, we're like, that's probably not the matchup we wanted, right?
Yeah, no, I do not think they are looking forward to playing Iowa on New Year's Day down there in Orlando. All right, that's going to do it for this edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Please rate, review, and subscribe. That's Matt Eumanns. I'm Tim Murray. Enjoy the bowls. Happy holidays to all. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. See you, folks.